and good morning. Yes, no, me and Kevin Miller recording today from Monday. That's right. So we're live today. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. You know, it's interesting because last week I had intended to talk about gambling in the stock market. I mean, that's what we're kind of going to be talking about. And then we went a different direction. And today may go a different direction. But I doubt it. Because the gambling in the stock market through apps like Robinhood, trading platforms like Robinhood, has gone absolutely mainstream media with GameStop and others and what's going on there. And so what is interesting to me is we have a stock that is rocketing higher, multiple stocks rocketing higher on nothing. People are buying call options. They think they're going to get rich. They're just jumping on. They don't even know what a call option is. The call to crush the hedge fund short sellers goes out. Amazing. You know, I've been doing this. I've been investing since I was 12 years old. I know, that's a long story, a long time. And although I had a pretty delinquent childhood, teenage years, not abnormal, I still was always fascinated by the market. And got pretty serious about it, decided to go into it when I was 19 years old. Now, that was a tough time, obviously, the early 80s, and I barely scratched out a living. But I've seen a lot for 40 years in this industry. I know, I can't believe it either. 40 years. Over 30 here with you on air. And I never seen anything like this. I mean, it's something else. This is crazy Looney Tunes stuff. It's so crazy. It's so social media that we have... AOC, the lunatic from New York. She's pretty, so she does social media really well, I guess. But she's an absolute moron economically. She doesn't understand anything. Not a big surprise. It's all about pretending to be caring and woke and all that in our world today. And she is definitely a power to be reckoned with. But she joins forces with Ted Cruz, who most certainly is a power to be reckoned with, in condemning the slowdown of what's going on at Robinhood. Well, we doubt that they're having tea together today and enjoying some nice discussions about the rest of their political differences. But the reality is from all sides, people are rushing to condemn what's going on Wall Street. As per usual, with little or no understanding, what the heck is a short sell? And we can dive into that today and probably will. But rather than talking about the complexities of what's going on here, let's just suffice to say that there's a whole lot of gambling going on in Wall Street by people that can't afford to lose, people that don't have any money, people that have no understanding of the game, if you will. But what they do understand is social media. And when their friends say attack, that sounds like fun. Let's attack those big billionaire hedge fund guys. Now, I hope it has been clear over the last 40 years that I'm not a big lover of hedge funds. I think they have tax breaks that they shouldn't have. They're in the pockets of the Democratic Party, which is ironic, isn't it? Robin Hood, Democratic Party, we hate them. Kind of ironic that the Democratic Party is funded by hedge funds in Silicon Valley. Kind of weird. Oh, yeah, I forgot. And the criminal unions, too. I forgot about that. Those are their favorite ones. And the trial attorneys, which, of course, is everybody's favorite. Kind of a mixed, weird band of people, isn't it? But they enjoy tax breaks that are just, like, are without explanation. It's simply we're well connected. We give billions of dollars to the right people, and so we lobby for lower taxes than, let's say, middle income America pays on let's say, $1 billion worth of profits in a year. Now, the hedge fund whole thing of 20% of the take and 2%, it's like almost criminal, but it doesn't matter because these are rich people's money. They can do what they want. Truly. So I'm not in favor of the hedge fund guys when I say this is crazy to be sitting here complaining about Robinhood, TD Ameritrade, Schwab, and everybody else trying not to get in trouble, get lawsuits because they're acting irresponsibly, allowing people that have no idea what they're doing to go ahead and lose money to try to slow down a lunatic environment. They have every right to do that. It's not because the hedge funds called them up and said, "Dear Robin Hood, we're going to kick your rear if you don't get out of, if you don't stop doing this." And they shut it down just to kill the little guy. I mean, it makes for good news, but it's just not true. It makes for a lot of angry people. I'm all angry because the little guy is getting crushed again. No, they're not. They don't even know what they're doing. They shouldn't be gambling. It's like, are you going to sit there and whine at casinos because some guy goes in and he cashes his check on a Friday night, gets lit up, and then he goes, walks into the craps table and loses all his money? Yeah, shut the whole place down. This has got to stop. It's criminal activity. It's not. We don't act that way. When people go in and they act stupid, and they don't know what they're doing, and they're going to buy a stock at $300. They don't have any idea what it is, but because somebody says it's going to go to $500, and there's no reason to, it's clearly less than a $20 stock. This company is going out of business. It clearly is. It's Blockbuster Part 4 or 5 or 10, right? There's no way they can stay in business, with all the digital stuff going on out there. It's a perfect trade for the hedge funds. Can't miss. And then they got absolutely sprung upon. So it's all great and groovy. The hedge funds lose billions of dollars. It's wonderful. But people are going to be left holding the bag. The stock isn't at 300 because the hedge funds came back in. The stock's at 300 because Robinhood traders think it's going to 500. A stock that shouldn't be at $20 a share. They don't know what they're doing. And now we're the Robinhoods of the world, get this, are this week are scheduled to go to court in Massachusetts. So Massachusetts is going to protect the little investor. So what did they sue Robinhood for? You will not even believe this. Okay? For not protecting the little investor against themselves. And now Massachusetts is probably loading up and going to get ready to sue them for what? Not letting the little investor do whatever the heck they want. You can't have it both ways. Just because politics say one group of people is all angry right now, let's get on board that one. This is lunacy. And you can be all the mad you want at Robinhood, but they have to have the capital to cover this nonsense. Because you can't let stuff like this take the system down. You can't. You absolutely can't. Our free market is everything to our whole system. Our whole system. If you don't have access to the capital markets, we do not have the United States of America. We don't have this free flow of capital available to create things like a Google, to create things like Apple, which we all enjoy. To have this big prize at the end, if we spend billions of dollars and billions of dollars here, oh, that one blew up, and another billion over here, another billion, oh, and that one worked. And we go to the capital markets, and we have work. We work even, which is a complete disaster. But all that capital that was invested finds its way somewhere else. And we come up with companies like Robinhood to compete against the giants out there. That's good for everybody. But we have to protect Robinhood from being raided, and we have to protect them from going out of business because they hold all of your assets, right? So we have regulations for how much money they have to have in reserve. So Robinhood's going, and TD, and Schwab, and everybody else is going, this is crazy because the clearinghouses, I know we're getting in the weeds here, are requiring more and more capital because they're not dumb. We've seen this before in it in some weird way, like tulip bulbs or whatever. This doesn't end well. And they slow down the train. Well, here's an opportunity to get your name in social media. Growl at them that they're favoring hedge funds over the little guy. No, they're not. They're not at all. They like trades, but they have to be under control. And if they're not doing their job, then they get sued by great states like Massachusetts, which I'm sure somehow even they understand the irony of being angry at Robinhood because they're protecting investors and, on the other hand, suing them for not the same week. Isn't that weird? But we find our outrage in such weird places. Like, why are we outraged about this? Where does all this anger come from? People who aren't even buying or owning or would never consider owning GameStop or AMC or others are angry. They're just so angry because they're trying to slow down trading. So I went out and I thought, I got to find out what people think. Not Wall Street people, not me. What do people think about this? Why are they angry? So I had a couple calls this week with very average people with minimal or almost no understanding really of how Wall Street works, but understanding of how and what Robinhood is, and huge understanding of social media and the power of it. They wanted to know. So I didn't actually make the call, but when they called me, it was like, whoa. Okay, here's my opinion, quickly. I want to hear from you. I want to know what you think is going on. And so the verbiage out there is that the hedge funds are being protected. Because that's all they would know. They don't know about capital calls and requirements and why Robinhood pulled down its bank lines. Why would you just go borrow money you don't necessarily need or even think you're going to need? It's available out there. Why would you go get it now? Because a bank line can be pulled tomorrow by the bank, but they can't pull it if you've already taken the money. It was a frightening circumstance for them. They went out and raised billions of dollars. Look, I'm not standing up for Robinhood any more than I'm standing up for the hedge funds. I'm just telling you. This is how it works. When people treat investing like a casino, and lots of people are going to be left holding the bag because whoever sells their $300 GameStop is selling it to somebody, that somebody gets to watch it go down. I know that somebody is sure it's going to go to $500. And the music won't stop while they hold it. But somebody is going to be holding it when the music stops. Because it isn't worth $500 or $300 or $200. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. I don't know if they're going to go out of business. Maybe they'll figure out a way to stay in business and be relevant again. But do we all really think that the company is worth $200 or $300 or $500 a share? Or is it just a trade of a ticker symbol called GME with no underlying value that we're gambling on? Look, I got to take a break. And Jim, you're going to have to hang on because I'm going to finish this song and dance before we get to you. I think people need to understand something here before we get into some kind of feeling that I'm all against gambling and all that stuff. I am. Because most people can't handle it. But I am opposed to gambling in the financial markets with people's serious money. And the problem with gambling with, I'm just going to do $10 or $20, is it becomes an addiction, especially if you win. You jump on a GameStop and you pay, put $100 into it, just like you would on a Knicks game. Is that a good way to look at investing, do you think? Do you think this is bringing investing to the masses? Or is it bringing more people to gambling? We all know what it is. And I want you to understand something, okay? Maybe I shouldn't say that I like gambling, but I do. I enjoy going down to Reno from time to time. I don't do any online gambling. I don't do sports betting. I used to years ago. I found it being very addicting and time-wasting, and I stopped. But some people don't. That was some almost 40 years ago, 35 years ago. I found myself watching UTEP and New Mexico game at like 11 o'clock at night. I could care less about UTEP and New Mexico, but I was wondering if the point spread was going to get covered. And fortunately, a bolt of lightning hit me in the brain and it said, "What are you doing?" But that doesn't happen to everybody. And it's the same with the glow of a hot craps table, or your five games in a row you've won on your little sports app. Or now you're picking ticker symbols off of some website that says, "Let's go get the hedge fund boys." And you win a couple, and so you start betting more. Why not? You're good. Man, you're good. It happens to almost everybody. And that's not bringing investing to the masses. But I don't come to you from some holier-than-thou, it's not fun to gamble perspective. It is. But you don't do it in the markets. You do it with a measured amount of money, and you have fun, and you leave. And you don't think you're going to win, because you're not. You're not. So quit thinking you're going to trade at home and be a day trader. You're not. A cup of coffee a day for 40 years is over $1 million. Doing nothing but leaving it in the market. That's how you get rich. Not gambling with Robin Hood. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And in order to give a reasonable amount of time with to everybody, we're going to try to pound through these phone calls. And also, though, I want to mention this. I will talk again in the second hour a little bit more about what short selling is and how this was kind of triggered in the first place and why short selling is so dangerous. People talk about hedging like it's some kind of magic formula, risk-free, don't worry about it, just go ahead and you can hedge your bets. And we're hedging here and hedging there. It sounds really cool and is thoroughly dangerous. And one of the things that the hedge funds managed to do, which I think we're going to see more regulation on, which is good, is they actually shorted more stock in GameStop than exists. How do they do that? We'll talk about that in the second hour. But right now, we do want to take your calls. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Jim, go ahead, please.
Well, Dave, it seems like they have taken what should be a more or less pure way of investing in the economy and abominated it. And what's weird is, in this particular case, I mean, you take one stock and, you know, all the hoopla on that, and apparently it infects the entire market, you know. And it's hard for somebody like you to try to convince people to invest when all of a sudden this phrase, Wall Street casino, seems more and more correct.
Right. Good point. And I agree. Of course, we know why people call it a Wall Street casino, so they can put you in crappy products that won't work. And that's in fear. But the reality is, when people are using their apps to make $100 bets on weird stocks, that is gambling. The average investor isn't gambling, and they're not doing it with their 401k. They're owning the great corporations of the world, and they're getting rich.
But it's just like, you know, whatever happens, it affects everybody else's stock price.
It does in weird stocks, okay? So this is an important distinction of what's going on here. This isn't going to ruin the markets. It doesn't have really anything to do with the markets. It has everything to do with a hyped-up situation where people are losing billions, and the hedge fund guys are, and also some of the small investors have lost their money, not a billion, but collectively a billion, and they are going to lose their shirts. They're going to lose it all. They're going to lose all they have in GameStop. They are. It's just not possible. Let me say, at this point in time, it's a sum-zero game. Everybody that wins has an equal and opposite loser, okay? Because the stock's going down. And I can't sit here and guarantee it. I can tell you it can go to 600 before it goes to $20, but it's going to 20, man. It can't stay here, and it won't stay here because it's defying any reality. It's no different than saying tulip bulbs can't keep going up, and 6 months later, they're still going up. This can happen, but in the end, a tulip bulb is not worth the price of a farm, and GameStop is not worth $300 a share. It isn't, and it won't be in the end, and so that part of this is all gambling, but when you talk about that and trying to separate it, you're right. This makes my passion, my drive, more difficult. I want everybody, I want the young lady answering the phones in there, to be putting $150 a month away for the next 40 years. She'll be a millionaire. And she doesn't have to understand anything about the market.
By the way, your young lady sounds very nice.
Okay, well, good. There you go. That's great. Her name's Sam, I believe, right? I got
Sam.
It right. Good. Even an old guy like me can remember somebody's name once in a while. So, anyway, so Sam is going to be working here, so that's great. And but my point is if her understanding, like everybody else, is it's a big old casino, that's too bad, because she won't want to gamble in that, because that's dangerous. And then some shark's going to come along and say, don't worry, I've got this plan over here. It's called safe money. And so it won't work, but I get rich because I have huge commissions. You can try that. And then we have over here a guy screaming and yelling about gold. It's the only currency in the world. Blah, 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 blah. It's the only real store of value. And we're going to have hyperinflation. So everybody's running scared in a world of amazing abundance. I mean, there's never been a time, and you could say this a year ago, never been a time, and a year before that, and never been a time when so many have so much. But I would also argue so many have so much, and we think so short-term, even though we live longer, that we're very unhappy. In fact, I would reckon we're miserable compared to 20 and 30 years ago.
Compared to Denmark.
Compared to Denmark. They just don't care, right? They just don't care. If you want to go get high and die in the park, go ahead. It's
well,
open to
thing,
you.
That's the thing, you know, when they do these studies or analysis or whatever the hell, the U.S., the satisfaction, the feeling of good, whatever, is, you know, the U.S. is about 30th or 40th place.
Yeah, I know. And that is disappointing, because we make everything. We create everything. 5% of the world's population makes everything. Okay, 90% of everything. There's like, we invent iPhones and smartphones. We have all the apps in the world, right? We have the greatest scientists in the world. We saved the world from the coronavirus because we came up with gene sequencing back at the very beginnings in January and February. They figured this out, and that was America. That's America, and that's who it is. But if we're out there gambling on the greatest corporations, gambling on Pfizer, that's just idiotic, and it takes people further from the truth. This is a great and easy way for you and I to create a legacy, to give money away, give money to the rescue mission, right? Because, you know, Apple has gone up 20-fold. So here, have some Apple from rich people and average people. This is such a great thing. You don't have to be the creator of an iPhone to do this. And that's the great thing about it. And that's what drives me crazy. We really do need to have people understanding what the market is and what kind of an opportunity is. So get away from that gambling.
Well, I don't like gambling. And you know, you were mentioning about sports. Now, I would never gamble on sports because that takes the fun out of it, you know. I mean, it'd be horrible. You watch the sports because you enjoy it. You don't want to know what the exact sport or the score's got to be and all that stuff. Anyway, well, Dave, hang in there, and I don't know. It's an insane world. That's all there is to say about it.
It's an upside down world, Jim. Have a good
day. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Brian, you're up to bat next. We need to take a quick break here for Fox News. 580-KIDO. Mm-hmm. We're rolling all the way to the top today. We're on fire, and we hope you want to join us at 580-5436-580-KIDO. No gambling here. Let's go with, Brian. Brian, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dave.
Hey there.
First time calling you. I'm a little bit nervous. I don't really talk on the radio, but
Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. You know, I'm going to tell you something real quick. Maybe make you feel a little bit better, okay? Only 3% of the people will ever call a radio program. So welcome to an elite club of people. How's that?
Sounds good. So just a little background. I'm an entrepreneur. I've started 10 businesses in my lifetime. Never made it rich, but always made a living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just working for myself. So you'd almost say my life is a gamble, right?
Right.
Because, I mean, like I'm a wildland firefighter contractor, right? So we don't get fires. I don't get money.
Mm-hmm.
But every year I invest large amounts of money on the, you know, perspective that there will be fires.
Right, right.
So, like, I understand that you're like, oh, try to help the little guy from hurting themselves out. But how far do we take that? When do they say, you're not smart enough to start your own business? You're not smart enough to decide when it's the time to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do day trading, but I also have my IRAs that are invested in mutual funds. You know, two different
totally
aspects.
Different.
Like,
yep.
So, for instance, I just started a couple months ago day trading. I put $1,000 in two different accounts, and I doubled it. I don't have any GameStop because it's way too expensive for my blood. But there's a lot more going on here with that little movement that I think we're leaving out. There were 16 stocks that were targeted by Reddit. And the point was it all started with the hedge funds trying to drive GameStop down quicker, put the final nail in their coffin.
Mm-hmm.
Shorting 140% of stocks.
Agreed.
I'm really interested to see what happens tomorrow. Like, I'm not educated enough to know how margin calls work and all that. All my accounts are cash accounts. I ain't borrowing money from nobody.
Right.
But
right. Well, that's
my
too.
Perspective.
Hey, Brian, absolutely. I think that's great. And you make a fantastic point, okay? One of the things, and haven't talked about this yet, obviously I can go on all day. I can go on for hours about this and how we don't want to turn Wall Street into a casino, okay, and that small investors are free to lose. And I totally agree with that. And I hope you didn't catch that I am saying small investors should not be allowed to do this. I think they should be allowed to do it. What I don't want people to do is think that this is an avenue to wealth. What you're doing with your mutual funds, your 401k, your IRAs, your Roth IRAs, that's a sure way to wealth. Okay? So that's what I want people to do. If what you're talking about is trying to control it with more regulation, that's what the AOCs of the world want to do. They always want to do that. Now, what I'm trying to say is Nancy Pelosi is another opportunity for her to say, we should probably take over your 401k. She's tried to do that twice since she's been Speaker of the House. She's floated the trial balloon of 401ks being turned into government property, and then we'll pay you a stream of income. Now, she was roundly booed out twice. Do you don't think that an opportunity like this smells like an opportunity to do what? Regulate more, tax more, complain more about the wealthy Wall Streeters. And what that means is then trading costs go up for you and I, not just Wall Street, not just a hedge fund, but everybody. So don't get me wrong on that. I love the idea of entrepreneur. You know that. I mean, if you've listened to this program for 5 minutes, you know how I love freedom and freedom to start and freedom to blow up and freedom to burn money and freedom to make tons of it. That's what makes this world go around. That's what jobs, how jobs are created. Right. And we look around us, we see it all the time. Right. Even with healthcare organizations that are like taking on the monsters that just want to grab it all. St. Al's and St. Luke's. Right. So we have new ones popping up to try to defeat the Goliaths of the world and get better healthcare for everybody. At least options. Right. And so all these things, whether it's that, restaurants, everything, what you're doing, you know, it's fantastic. So I love that. And I love the idea that people are free to go ahead and be stupid and lose their money. But I want the education to be out there so that people understand what it means. So good for you, but a lot of people, and you'll recognize this, whether it's in you, me, or others, when you start winning and doubling your money, do you keep playing at that level now? Now do you put more in and more in and more in? You've seen a hot craps table when that seven eventually comes, right? Almost all the profits are left on the table, aren't they?
Yeah, have you seen, you know what Dogecoin is?
Yeah, I've heard of it. It's another cryptocurrency, made-up cryptocurrency, yes.
Yeah, so, Landon, I'm telling you, it's not investment advice, but it's a gamble. But instead of going to the casino, you can do stuff like that. Dogecoin went up 1,000% Friday or Thursday night.
Yep.
So
Elon
I had
Musk mentioned
$400
it.
Worth. I sold as I went along, you know. I mean, it was like I said, it was like putting it on the craft table.
Yep.
It reached a high. It went from less than a penny to 8 cents in like 3 hours.
Yep. I know.
I'm saying, that's a gamble, but that's all based on the hype that Elon Musk tweeted, his Doge going to a dollar, and everybody jumped on the bandwagon.
Yep.
I know. So what I'm getting at is that I don't like regulation. Like, I think the best economy we ever had was when the government was shut down in January of, what, last year or year before, and we got more things done because there was waivers for everything instead of permits.
Hey, that's and what we're going to miss Donald increases. Trump the most about, by the way.
Okay. Well, and that's my biggest concern, I guess, is being an entrepreneur, I don't want people telling me what I can and can't do with my money. And when Robinhood decided that you could – and if they're on margin accounts, that's a different story. If it's their money, they have a say in it. But my money, they shouldn't. And like I said, I took all my stocks out of Robinhood and put them in my Webull account because, you know, for me, and maybe I was wrong, it felt like they were controlling my access to the free market.
Well, I understand your feeling. I just want, hopefully my explanation will help you. I'm not telling you to go back to Robinhood. I don't have any skin in that game at all. And I think their apps are set up exactly so you gamble. That's precisely what they're doing. They're not bringing investments to the average person. They're bringing gambling to the average person. So that is not, I'm not a Robinhood fan by any stretch. I'm not a hedge fund fan. I don't like either of them, honestly, for what they're doing. Now, you can, you know, no matter what you mask it in, Robinhood is a for-profit company that sells the trades you make that are free to exchanges so that they can get paid $1 billion. They want you to trade a lot, but they do not want, and they don't do it out of the goodness of their heart. Neither does TD or Schwab. They do it as a profit center. They're not trying to educate people or do anything like that. They're simply trying to get people to make trades they get paid on to do. So that is, and they direct them so to which exchange they want to, and that exchange pays them for each transaction. Now, having said all that, I still think they have every right and to be reasonable and say we have capital requirements and we have to have capital requirements. We all know what happened in the 1920s when banks go bankrupt, everybody loses their money. We even saw a little bit of that in 2008, early 2008 with Bear Stearns. People left holding the bag because Bear Stearns went under. And that is not a good place to be. So we have to have these banks capitalized. And when the clearinghouses say, hey, you need to send us another $1 billion or we won't clear your trades, you're out of business. So they have to go raise money, pull their bank lines, or slow down trading in weird stocks that are causing these clearinghouses to say, you need more money. You need to put up more capital. So it's within their rights, and that's why TD and Schwab and Robinhood and all slowed down trades. They want you to make trades. They don't care whether GameStop goes back to 20 tomorrow. They need you to slow down, and that's the reason why, because they have bigger capital requirements. That's all. I'm not apologizing for them. I'm just telling you why.
And, you know, in this day of social media, the misinformation, like, I can't believe anything I hear anymore. Like, and I really look forward every Saturday to listening to your show. Like, when it's a rerun or you're only on 1 hour, I get upset because, like, you're right down my alley because, like I said, entrepreneur, I'm not an educated investor. That's why with my real money, I gave it to somebody and put it in mutual funds and should know what they're doing. But, I said at the same time, if I, you know, it's like anything, jumping on the next thing, that like Tesla being at 850 a share right now, don't you think it's kind of a gamble to buy it at 850?
I mean,
it's all perspective, but
I can't touch it. It's okay. I miss Starbucks too, you know, but I got Apple and I got Google and you know what I'm saying? You don't get them all. It doesn't make you wrong, but by owning Apple instead of trading it, I just want to tag on to what you were saying a little bit. I have a 20 bagger in Apple, but if I traded it, I would have made money, but I wouldn't have 20-fold my investment, right? You got to own things for the long term. Other than a GameStop, this is weird. Probably won't happen again after this whole little flurry. There'll be new regulations on collaboration. Because we shouldn't, it doesn't matter if it's a little guys getting together, because with social media, little guys add up to big guys. We shouldn't allow collaboration to destroy the markets. You and I love entrepreneurs, okay? I love what you do. I'm an entrepreneur too, okay? And I love entrepreneurs. I love working with them. They're different people. They're hard workers. They love their employees. It's an amazing thing. Without entrepreneurs, we don't have anything. So I'm 100% behind that. But we have to have these regulations in place so that the average person gets advantages that only the bankers and hedge funds have if we don't have those regulations. I'm not for regulation at all, but we have to have some. And regulating trading is an important part of that. And regulating capital requirements so people don't just happen to have a Bear Stearns account and then they lose everything. We don't want that.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It crossed my mind, too, when Robin Hood's getting sued. I'm like, shit, or shoot, they have all my money.
It's all right. Kevin caught it. It's okay.
Oh, tell Kevin he's one of my favorites, too. I love his show. I don't always agree with him, but, yeah, you two definitely keep the Treasure Valley, like, morning going. So, real quick, though, can you talk about, I don't have to be on the air, but what happens when those calls or the shorts come due? Aren't GameStop shorts due tomorrow or something like that?
Yeah, I'll talk about that.
Monday, I'm sorry.
I'm going to talk about that at the top of the next hour, okay? We're going to talk about what short selling is, okay? So you hang in there. We'll talk about it at 9:05, okay?
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Brian. Have a great day.
You too.
Appreciate you. Bye. And let's go to, I believe it is... Robert is next. Robert, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dave, my question is not near as complicated as probably some of the things you're discussing today.
Yeah.
But I'm 73 years old. I've never had any retirement where I've worked. And I finally have a job where I'm making some pretty good money and have managed to save around $50,000. And at my age, I don't know what to do with it.
Fair point. Okay. Would you like to get a little income from it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not even against, you know, some high risk, but everybody says, oh, you don't want to do that at your age.
Not true. Not but true at all, Robert.
As long as I'm healthy, mm-hmm. I should be able to continue with this job for some time and, you know, and hope to be able to make some decent money.
Okay. First of all, I think everybody's different, and it's not an age-based thing. When I'm 90 years old, I'll be owning stocks. I know I will. It's just the way it is, if I get to be 90 years old. But, Robert, I think, for example, right now we're in a weird world, so I want to go ahead and walk through this with you real quick. If you go ahead and put that in savings or something that has no risk, you're going to earn no money. Even a 10-year treasury today is only 1% below the inflation rate. That doesn't seem like a smart bet to me. So when we say, well, I don't want price volatility, if you put money in a 1% bond that comes due in 10 years and interest rates rise to 2, do you think you're going to get paid full price on that bond anytime between now and the 10th year?
Right? Probably not.
No, because you couldn't possibly find anybody dumb enough to pay full price for a 1% bond when they go buy a 2, right? Okay.
Yep.
So what we have is obviously risk wherever we go, whether it's against inflation, all those things. So what I'm going to say is that today, I would consider doing this. Now, you may not want the money right now, but what I would do is I'd probably take a more conservative all-equity position for you. And what that means is you're not really needing the income, but why don't we create an income portfolio of great companies like Pfizer? I'm not telling you to go buy Pfizer. I'm just going to give some examples. Pfizer has a dividend of 4%. And I think they've raised their dividend for something like 20, 25 years in a row. Through recessions, through downdrafts, they just have a whole bunch of billion-dollar drugs, and they keep raising their dividends, and they're paying 4. Or I can put it in the bank and earn 0. But I can call that safe, or I can go in a safer money weird thing and only make 2 and never make more and never be able to get my money out or have any availability of my capital. So these are the reasons why I don't want you to go into something that says this is really conservative, really safe. In a zero interest world, it won't work. It can't work. So why don't we buy a package of great companies that pay dividends, of even small ones like Apple pays a dividend, but it raises it crazily every year. So you can still get participation building out a portfolio of dividend raising funds or income. And then you have a little bit of extra money to spend, or you can let those dividends reinvest until the day you need it. Then you turn on the income stream and you have it. Instead of putting money in a zero interest account now, and waiting for, I don't know, your buddies at the coffee shop, or maybe sometime in the middle of the night, God will speak to you and tell you when. This is the time to get it out and go get it and put it in this investment over here, this magic thing giving you X. You'll never move it. So I think you just go forward and you turn around and you quit listening to those people that just know, you're 70 years old, you're too old, you shouldn't do this and this. They don't know anything. And I'm telling you that $50,000 could be worth $40,000 tomorrow, but only if you sell it. Otherwise, the dividends keep coming in, and you'll be reinvesting them. Pfizer
if you invest money over a 10-year period, that you ought to be able to double it.
Yeah, that would be a 7%, actually quite a bit below what the market has done over time. But here's the deal: every 10 years is different. One 10-year period will be 15%. One will be -1. Others will be 2%. Some might be right on the average of 10. But everyone's different. And so I don't want you to cling to that. That's what you would expect it to do with your dividends to reinvest. You would expect it to do that. It will be more or less than that number, however. It really will.
So then I need to probably just look for some mutual funds that have some of the better companies in them.
It's actually just called equity income, and you probably want a couple of different ones. Mutual funds would work. There's exchange traded funds out there, and if you like doing your homework, you can actually pick some stocks much more dangerous. People tend to pick high yielders, and then they blow up. You don't want to do that. Oh, this company over here pays 8%. Yeah, that's not magic, okay? That's because there's extreme risk, and if you don't know what that risk is, then you're like the guy at the poker table that you're supposed to look around the table, and you got to figure out who the sucker is, right? Because, you need to identify the sucker at the poker game, right? And if you can't, who is it? It's you, right? If you can't find that sucker, it's you. That's the problem with that. Don't just run out there. You're running naked with scissors if you do that, so don't do that. Not
all
unless
right.
You want to do the homework and you know what you're doing. It's great.
Yeah.
It's fun stuff. But you got to know what you're doing. Otherwise, do a mutual fund, exchange-traded fund, put a package together, let the dividends reinvest until you're ready to turn the income stream on, okay?
All right. Sounds good.
All right, Robert.
All right. Thanks,
Thank
Dave.
You for your call. You have a great day.
You bet. Bye.
Bye. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. All right. And it's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. I don't know. I haven't had a chance to check if anybody has sent an email. We'll get to those in the next hour. And if you prefer emails, that's fine. I also want to let you know there's podcasts. If this was interesting to you or you feel like somebody needs to hear this, then we will have that up usually Tuesday on at the Apple Store. It's pretty much automatically downloaded, the podcasts of this program. And if you missed one in the past, there you go. We also have YouTubes, and I want to mention this because we're starting to get better at these, right? And understanding. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. First of all, these are my opinions and my opinions only. We're not here to tell you what to buy, and sell. That'd be Robin Hood and others. And people that are just screaming and yelling, look at me. Because that's no way to invest. It is not. We are driven to have activity. It's that whole part of a gambling mentality. I don't want gambling taken away. I think that's fine, right? But people need to understand it. And some people get carried away. A good friend of mine, actually, is a casino host. And I'm going to tell you something. We have had multiple conversations. I've known him for going on 30 years. He's about to retire. So we actually had dinner not long ago. His brother calls him a pimp. He laughs about it, of course, but he says there's truth in that, too. Because many, many people can't handle it. Many people. This is more than a place to have fun and have a diversion. They're addicted to the action. And it doesn't end well, ever. Ever. Like I said, I've known him for a long, long time. And when somebody who's doing that all the time speaks from their heart about something in their industry, I take it very, very seriously. People are not very honest. None of us are. Honest about our own selves. Maybe at the quiet of the night, we are honest with ourselves as to what our demons are. But most of us have addiction problems in one area or all areas. And so be careful with this. I think it was Brian that we talked to last hour that talked about his rights to do what he wants taken away. And I share that greatly. Human beings have, in America, have had, up until now, the right to speak their mind. Now not so much, huh? I'm frightened about that. I'm frightened about every opportunity, every crisis, is another opportunity to regulate by the left. Take over your 401k. Got to protect ourselves. I'm extremely concerned about that. What's happening on Wall Street is working. It's working. This is what should be happening. Companies slow down, overly aggressive, highly margined, frantic trading. By requiring people put up cash and they can't margin those securities, requiring that they can't borrow the stock to go short. It's their right, it's their obligation to try to make the markets reasonable. And their capital requirements need to be very high to make sure that people's money is safe. So that the capital markets function correctly. and another opportunity to regulate more because we need to protect, fill in the blank, women, babies, starving, those mean people. They just want to push grandma off the cliff. Oh, my gosh. Can't they ever come up with an idea besides more regulation and more taxes and more proper speaking? An idea besides, let's check the box. We need more queers on the board. Yeah, I know. And some people thought I just said something inappropriate. I didn't. I'm very careful. Queer is a definition that the NASDAQ, New York, the over-the-counter exchange, used in telling people we need to have more women and part of the LGBTQ community on boards. Not because they're good for the companies. No, we need to check the box because we're not racist. No, not at all. Not at all. Well, I think that spells out everything perfectly. If you're the right skin color, you get the job. If you're not, oh, sorry. Does this make sense? That's not racism. Of course it's not, because it's all woke and correct. That's what these regulations and wokeness do, is create this upside-down, bizarro world. And that is, I am worried about that. We don't need more of that. But we have to have regulations, and we must respect the rights of these companies to stay in business. On one hand, Robinhood is being sued because they're not being responsible to small people by the state of Massachusetts. Good job, Massachusetts. Way to go. Sue those guys. Oh, yeah. And on the other hand, the state of Massachusetts is suing them this week for what? For not letting people be free. Way to go, Massachusetts. Way to go. Keep jumping on that political bandwagon. You're so woke. This is insane. It's insane. Don't be angry at these companies. Be angry at the politicians that can't wait to jump on the freight train. Freight train to where? To more social media awareness. I'm more woke than you. Look at me. It's a very big concern. And that's not for the benefit of the hedge fund traders. Let's talk about hedge funds. Two things. I want to talk about short selling, hedge funds. We dealt with gambling. If you, in the first hour, we'll swing into that some more as well. But you got to understand what these things triggered, okay? And you don't have to understand it thoroughly. I know short selling is about ready to make your head spin. You need to focus. I'm serious. Look at the radio, whatever you have to do. But do not tune me out. This is tough. Just focus. You can get it. We have 100% of the stock in a company, okay? 100%. And if it all is put in, theoretically, put in an account called a margin account, then the Robin Hoods of the world, your trading companies, can lend those shares to people to sell. Up to 100%. Now, somehow, the hedge funds got around this, and they sold 140%. That's wrong. That will be changed. People will get in trouble. Rules are going to change. That's good. That's good. Because you know what that is? That's called market manipulation. Bad. Bad. We don't want billionaires to do that. We don't want average Joes to do that. Market manipulation, bad for markets. Okay? Short selling. What I'm trying to do is I want to have the stock go down, right? Not up. I don't own the stock. I've sold it. I borrowed it from somebody else, and then I sold it. Now, at some point in time, I need to buy that back, don't I? Right? To neutralize my trade. When stocks get really volatile, they're really hard to borrow. And I mention this only to say this. I mentioned that you have to have it in a margin account to lend it out. Because I can call up TD and I can say, I do not want my game stock lent out. Put that in a cash account. and that cannot be borrowed against. Many people do that to keep short sellers from borrowing money, borrowing my shares, and trying to drive GameStop out. Many people do that. It's your right. So you have to go borrow it, and then you sell it, and if the stock goes up a lot, ouch. Literally, your losses are unlimited, right? I mean, if I buy a $20 stock, and let's say I bought 100 shares, and that's, what, $2,000? Yeah, I can do math. $2,000, and it goes to zero, I lost $2,000. Now, if a $20 stock goes to 200, right? I didn't lose 2,000. If I cover it at 2,000, I lost 20,000. Goes to 300, keeps going. You see what I'm saying? There is no limit. It's very dangerous. Now, at some point, you have to cover it. And at some point, you might be required to have more cash put in your portfolio to cover the potential losses. And more is required. So that's why you heard about this week, a hedge fund was bailed out because they had margin calls. And I'll come back to that. They have to put up more cash. Where's it coming from? In many cases, what happens? Uncle, I cry uncle, let me out. I stop. I will buy the shares and stop the pain. And they buy it back, creating another buyer in the market, and the stock goes up even more. It's called a short squeeze because you're squeezing them until there's too much pain and they have to cover, and it drives the stock even higher. Short selling's very dangerous. Don't do it. Don't do it. Trust me, I've done it before. It's really dangerous. You know, when you're young and kind of dumb and you're pretty sure Amazon's too high priced, and it just keeps going. Ooh, ooh, that can be painful. Life has a way of teaching us, doesn't it? Right? You can either listen or pain will teach you. One or the other. But we have a way of learning. Short selling, don't worry about it. But that's what's driving it. It's interesting. It creates another driver. So these really smart people, through social media, identified these companies and said and knew that at some point in time, these people would have to cover in a short squeeze, and so it's game on. So they start promoting these stocks. Buyers come in. The stock price keeps going up. That's okay for a while. I just lost a couple bucks. It starts accelerating. Momentum begets momentum. More people pile on. What's this GME thing? It's GameStop. We're just going to go to 500. I just read it online. Okay, here's my $1,000. Boom, and they throw it in. That's not much. That's not going to move the stock. But thousands of people with thousands of dollars moves the stock. What the heck's going on? GameStop hits 50. It hits 100. The shorts have to cover. I'm out. I'm not touching this one. The best traders on Wall Street all said this all week long. Well, are you getting in short? You're going to buy puts on this thing? We all know it's going back to 20. I'm not touching it. There's no way I'm getting in front of this. I'm not touching it. Just stay away. I don't know if it's going to go to 500 before it goes to $5. I don't know. But I'm not touching it. It's out of control. This is why the regulators stepped in. The regulators haven't stepped in. Excuse me. Regulation existing on the books made these companies go, whoa, this isn't right. Lots of innocent people that think they're doing something are going to get hurt. And whatever that happens, the regulators come and go, where are the deep pockets? Who did this? My constituents are angry. Therefore, you are going to pay. What? Well, what do we do? We just have a platform where people can trade. What did you? Well, you didn't monitor it correctly. Oh, really? Yeah, really. We all have a responsibility. You can't stop stupid, but you can try to calm things down. And that's what they did. Now let's talk about margin real quick. Borrowing money, why they have to cover it. Back in the 1920s, the stock market crash. Hardly anybody was in the market. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. You know, like it's like my grandma always said, you shouldn't invest in stocks. Well, grandma, you weren't investing in stocks, were you? No. I just lost my $12 in my savings account at the bank. Oh, but the bank is a safe one, right? She never invested in the stock market, but the stock market's always been blamed, okay? So, but anyway, here's the thing. Back then, you could borrow money 10 to 1. 10 to 1. So people did. They put up a dollar, and they borrowed 10 more. Now, that's some serious leverage. Nowadays, you can borrow about half. And most people will not borrow half and then buy more with that half, right? They might be doing a little bit on the side, or they might have a short position for a short-term position. But in the reality is this. People are not over-levered out there. They are not. Leverage is only 50% now, but that's still good enough on the short side. And when you also have out-of-control stocks, then many companies will say, you must put up full amount or cash only. So they stop letting people margin their account for this play. I think it's totally reasonable, and you have to expect that as an investor. And yes, hedge funds have to expect it too. But that's why the hedge funds had to go get more money, because otherwise all their positions would be closed. Let me close this in final. We can answer your questions after this. The thing that you really need to realize in all of this, when people are short selling and markets are flying all over the place, the hedge funds, in this particular case, many of them have just, most all of them, probably all of them, have already covered their positions, lost their billions of dollars, and are stepping aside. The people who are left in this to lose money are just the little guys. They're not going up against the hedge funds anymore. So when this just finally falls from the sky, and it will, I don't know from what level, right? I don't. If I did, I would go ahead and figure out a way to buy a put for too much money or whatever it is and say, there's a top. Here we go. It's all okay. I'm going to make money guaranteed, even though everything's overpriced. So you just walk away, and the hedge funds have. So who's left? People who are out there beating this up all the time and trying to drive this stock to 500 or 600, whatever target they have, and out they go. And who's left holding the bag? Not the hedge funds. Not the hedge funds. That game has already been played. Robinhood won. It's game over. The people left are going to be the other Robin Hooders that are holding the bag. That's the reality of trading in these companies today. All right, our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We're going to be right back to take your calls if you would like. And again, I'm happy to answer more questions on this if you want to. I know it's in the news. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. If you tried to get in the first hour, lines are open now. I know we had kind of a flood in there for a minute, and so maybe you tried and couldn't get in. Would love for you to join the program now. It's really, wide open. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. All right, before we had a technical glitch in the first hour, which was technical, it was computer-driven, not human error. How about that? And so anyway, that was just something that I wanted to also say. I was wanting to tell people we are now doing some YouTube from our Zoom meetings for our clients. And the reason we started doing it was because not everybody can be there at 10 a.m. in the morning. Not everybody could be there at 4 in the afternoon, whatever time we set for the meeting. And so we wanted to make it available. Well, YouTube was the only outlet we could find to have enough storage capacity for what videos do. But we're going to start amping that up a little bit. And we've got a couple out there that I think you'll like for those of you who have any historical background or desire to learn about how markets work. One's called Dow 30,000, and people found that one to be a very helpful reminder. Yes, it's about my investment lifetime. It's also, for those of you that have a little seasoning out there, it's your adult lifetime, too. It's kind of fun to relate back what some of those things were and some of the milestones and why markets work. And finally, because the elections came, we did one recently, which was emotions have no place in investing. And they don't. And it talks about some history there as well. Hopefully you'll enjoy them, but that's YouTube under Petso Financial. You can certainly subscribe there, and any new postings we have out will be, you'll get a notification of. All right? All right, I want to talk about this before we have to jump to Fox News a little bit. Last week, on a more serious, you know, not serious, I think this Robinhood thing is very serious because I'm concerned about the regulation side. But I think most of the media just finds it interesting, right? It's like a gladiators fighting. This is the little guys versus the big guys or some nonsense like that. When it's not. Not anymore. Not anymore. But on a more serious note, I had a chance this week. We're kind of going through this process right now of talking with a lot of different strategists. Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Wellington, American Funds, all the big guys, right? We do a lot of business with them. We can talk to the big guys, which is nice. And trying to get their impressions of what's going on in the market. Not a market prediction, but maybe let's review some areas that look interesting to us that maybe we could overweight, or things that are concern us that we should be maybe underweighting just a little bit. Never all or none. That's not what you ever should do. You really shouldn't, because that's how you get hurt badly. But it was interesting to hear, really pretty uniform, a couple of things. That with the reopening, and maybe I'm just going to say this, okay? Everybody, I would say uniformly, is not worried about what you see in the media all the time. Stocks are overpriced. The market's way overvalued. All the time. That's great headline-grabbing stuff. It's great web search stuff, right? Super fear stuff, right? I mean, can't you just read the headlines right now? I mean, we had, you know, a sell-off from all-time highs of, you know, 2%. So can't you see the headlines now? Can't you read them, right? See what happens on Wall Street? You can't even, I don't know why people play. It's so overpriced. I would take some money off the table now. Fill in the blank for whatever reasons. Right? All in the name of what? To put you into fear products. Always. It's always the same mantra. There's going to be one reason or another. You can pick up the newspaper. Here it is right here. You know, you can't do that. You can't trust the markets. You know how Wall Street hedge funds are driving markets all over the place. You can't be part of that. You need safe money or whatever. It's crazy. Crazy. All of that to say none of them are worried about prices. Here's why. Here's why. Same reason we've been talking about. Exact same reason. We're opening up. The economy is going to boom. Yeah, Biden is as far left as you could possibly imagine. It's a nightmare. It is. Totally a nightmare. They're actually talking about getting rid of the filibuster. Talking openly about it, pushing for it. And Biden said today or yesterday, whatever, by golly, we are going to go do this no matter what. And of course, that's 1 week after his beautiful, wonderful kumbaya speech. We all need to heal. We all need to come together. But we don't want those darn Republicans. We all need to come together means what? You agree with me? Period. I'm worried about it too. But no matter what, as a reminder, no matter what the great one, Obama, could do to us, he raised taxes, regulations, destroyed the Middle East, lit the world on fire with our foreign relations, let the bad guys run amok. He was a disaster in every possible way, was a wrecking ball to the economy and actually the safety of the world. A complete wrecking ball. He was incredibly bad for 8 years. What happened 2 years in? He lost the House. The brakes went on. But no matter what he did, we were coming off of a terrible recession and the economy grew. Should it have grown faster? Of course. Could it have grown a lot faster? Of course. And Donald Trump proved that, by the way. It could be better. But no matter what, we are opening up. And people's wallets are full. And no matter what people do, they're still going to burn money. That's what they're going to do. The government can't waste an opportunity to go further in debt, whether we need it or not. The states need bailed out. Otherwise, they can't continue to buy union votes. So the good people of Idaho need to bail out the bad people in Illinois. All that money needs to roll. That's political promises. Whether it's 1.9 or in a compromise with those evil Republicans, we only spend 1.5. The money is just going to be all over the place. And it's going to bust open. Not in a long-term way. This is all awful for the long-term. But who thinks long-term? I want to get rich right now. Give me some GameStop. That's how we think. And that's politically acceptable, too. It's sad. But that's where we are. So if you want to worry long-term, please do. You want to fight the good fight, please do. But to worry about the market, it's overpriced, and we should have a correction. Hopefully, we're getting it now. But you know what's going to happen? In my mind, and certainly the Wall Street folks, we're opening up. Don't bet against this momentum. You get 5% off, some people are going to go, I've been waiting for a little pullback. Here's a few trillion dollars that's earning nothing. Or let me reallocate a few trillion from 1% 10-year bonds. There's still $17 trillion at negative interest rates around the world. $17 trillion with a T. There's well over $10 trillion in the U.S. earning zero in cash. It doesn't stay there. It's looking for a home. There's a lot of cash. There's a lot of pent-up demand. The economy's opening back up. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. And don't worry about the politics, but don't put those worries on top of your investments. We got to take a break for Fox News. We'll be right back at 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. You know, as we roll into your phone calls, and please do give us a call if you prefer. Email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. I did want to say this because it is such an amazing honor to be here every week. It really is. People always comment, you know, my gosh, you couldn't have done radio for over 30 years and given up a Saturday. It's like, I don't give up anything. It's truly an honor to do that. It changes the way you think. It changes your life in ways you just can't even imagine. What a privilege it is. It's not just doing a show. It's helped my business a lot, of course. It's just been great. But you know what? I'm pretty sure I would have done great anyway. I was doing fine before I started, right? I was doing great. I was on the track. This is different. It's different to be able to get here and teach every day and hopefully change people's perspective. That idea, to me, is amazing, and I can't believe it fell in my lap because it did. This is not something I did even in junior high or something in some communications class. The first show was the first time I was in front of a radio, the first show I did. Or, I mean, a microphone. It's the first time. And so it's just it's one of those things that I've just thoroughly enjoyed, embraced, and loved. And it's just thank you for letting me do it. Appreciate it so very much. Our number is 580-KIDO. Let's go to Terry. Terry, thanks for calling.
Well, good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Well, did you get those popcorn futures bought for me?
Yeah, we sure did. Yes.
It sure is entertaining
a lot of
out there.
I could give and really bad jokes. I'm going to leave those off, though. Yeah.
Basically, it goes back to the old lesson of you never take your mortgage money to Reno.
Right.
If it's you got a little extra, have some fun. I went ahead and took a road trip, a couple of broke airmen out of Mountain Home to Reno to see a guy's girlfriend. Hit a jackpot full of nickels, put them in a shot bag under the seat of the truck. Had a great weekend, and on the way back, we figured we were broke. We got to Jordan Valley. Oh, wait a minute, there's that bag of nickels underneath the seat of the truck. We got enough gas to get back to Mountain Home, the air base, in time to go to work on Monday.
Awesome.
You know, this is how you do this sort of stuff, you know. It's not planning all the time. It's just you get lucky once in a while.
You do, and most of the time you don't. And you weren't using money that you weren't using your mortgage money. So there you go.
Yeah, I do have a serious question though. What good are all these federal agencies and regulators and the SEC and whatnot? Is it just so everything happens so quickly that the idiot bureaucrats haven't woke up yet and got out of bed in order to see what's going on? Or how does 136% of GameStop get sold?
Yeah. I this is hard. And I don't know in this world of lacking in free speech if, you know, the SEC is going to come knocking on my door because I'm going to say this. They're idiots. The SEC is full of idiots. Now, I don't mean on a local basis that they can't figure out how to audit firms like me. They do that just fine.
Yeah, there's that box of paperwork they can't find for you.
Yep, that's the IRS. But but either way, yes. But I'm sure the SEC will have problems. Here's the problem. The SEC is in the pockets of big traders, big money. Each administration picks a new one who's nothing more than a political crony, usually, and isn't really looking to try to make important changes. So they never have been ahead of the curve. They're always behind the curve. And Terry, they're bureaucrats. These people don't know what to do. They push papers. I mean, people, for some reason, I don't know what it is, why people like the nanny state. It doesn't work. It slows everything down. I don't want my mayor to protect me from anything. I only want the police and the firefighters to come when there's an emergency. I don't want my mayor telling, you know, spending money to make Boise happier, a nicer place. Teach me how to speak correctly. I don't want any of that. And I don't think really people do, but there are people that do. You know, we got to do something about these groups that don't like what we're doing over here. And Silicon Valley gets to go, oh, yeah, we got to shut down Parler. These guys are hate speech. No, they just disagree with government. And I don't know why, because what can you point to? The Chicago teachers that won't go into the classroom, even though even the mayor, Beetlejuice, I think her name is, comes out and says, even her says, the science doesn't make sense, but the union won't go to work.
Well,
that's what we're doing with these bureaucracies. We're not teaching kids. We're not doing this. It's terrible. And bureaucrats of the market, Terry, they're no different. They just push paper around, have self-important titles, make a nice pension, and they never really are doing anything except making noises about the small investor. Go ahead.
Well, I'm saying President Reagan fixed that with the air traffic controllers.
He did.
Back in a less kind society, they didn't go to work when they were ordered to go to work, and he fired them.
Yep.
Hired some more.
And guess what? You know what they? I'll tell you what else they were too. They were supporting him. Did you know that? That they literally came out and endorsed him for president, and then he fired him.
again, this is there are so many different things. How about our $430,000 bureaucrat Fauci?
Yeah.
When you make more than the president, you ought to be pretty darn good at your job instead of a disingenuous, lying bureaucrat.
I would agree with you.
Now that we've got us both fired up here, yeah. I got another bumper sticker for you.
Okay, go ahead.
There is no right never to be offended.
Okay, that's I like that one. You need to get that printed up, and it's probably too late. Somebody's already hitting the internet with it and is going to what's a little mark you put on them, right?
Yeah, well, heck, I don't know about that. All I can do is put out a plug for CafePress.com and go under the bumper stickers and look for offensive.
Yep.
And that's how I do my fun is I've got a Ford Flex has got the whole rear end of it covered with bumper stickers.
Well, next time you're coming by, we'll have to get up off of our derrieres and go and see your bumper sticker. So there you go. All right, Terry. Thank you, sir.
All right, sir. Have a good weekend.
Have a good day. Go trademark that one, will you? Get it done.
Oh, no, right. Sir. It's not my... you made enough money that I don't need to trademark stuff.
Okay. You have a good day.
See you, Dave.
Bye now. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Mark, you hang on. We got to take our final break, and we'll grab you on the other side. We're at 580-KIDO. Fumble, fumble, fumble. Here we go. Headphones. We got it. No problem. It's just really headphones can be difficult equipment. You just have to understand the treachery of a radio studio. It's something else. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. We have time to take your call if you want to. Also, if you missed anything, you want to catch it. Usually by Tuesday, that's downloaded through the Apple Store or our website. It's called Podbeam, I think is what we have it on the website. You can catch our podcast. You can also just automatically download those if you would like to, if you missed anything. Feel free to do so. And let's go right now to Mark. Mark, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Yes. First off, let me say thank you for your program. I think you do a wonderful job. I enjoy your Saturday morning programs. I don't listen a whole lot because I don't get a chance to. But my question today is that I have a small business that has actually done fairly well during the pandemic, and I have a little extra cash and feel like I need to invest a little bit in precious metals. And my question would be, why would I want to do a precious metals IRA as opposed to just purchasing precious metals and setting them aside?
Yeah, good question. All right, first of all, thank you very much for listening, and thank you for the compliment. I appreciate that very much. Like I said earlier, it's truly, I mean this in deep in my heart. It's been an honor to do this. I can't believe how long I've been able to do this.
And, yeah, you do a wonderful job. I enjoy your show. You're one of the best.
Thank you.
So anyway.
Thank you for the encouragement. All right, Mark, here's the deal. First of all, I'm not going to stand here and scream and yell at you for going into precious metals in your IRA, but you got to give me a minute on that, okay?
Okay,
you shouldn't be doing that. I'll tell you why, okay? It's not earning anything. It makes no sense in an IRA. If you have to own precious metals, do it on the outside. You have to pay for them to be held in your IRA. I know. It's probably where you have most of your money. It's in the IRA, and so now you want to access it. Don't do it. Don't do it. If you want to own precious metals, do it on the outside, okay? Because the only reason I can think under the whole sun to have any precious metal is because you want it, some kind of a hedge against your portfolio. Not because you think some pretty brick is going to go to the moon. You just can't think that way because it doesn't.
Sure.
It hasn't done that historically. You get short bursts in price. That's true from time to time, and then it flames out. When I started in the industry in 1980, gold was at 800 an ounce today, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average was at 800. Nominally, we're at less than 2,000 on gold, and we're at 30,000 on the Dow. And that doesn't even include the dividends in the Dow, which is unbelievable. What that does, okay?
So
you can watch Dow 30,000 on YouTube under Petso Financial. I can't remember there, but I think it's like 10,000 turns into 100,000. It's ridiculous. It's 100,000 more than gold.
What a difference!
It is such a difference because dividends do matter over a long period of time. They really do. They really do. They compound to a lot of money. All right. Now, having said that, so if that's your, if that's what you want to do, I'm not going to stand here and scream at you that gold is dumb. Okay. You want to do that because you think it has some safety qualities because we're printing too much money. I agree with all that. Okay. So if you want to set it aside, go ahead. The amount of gold I own is zero. I don't, that may or may not matter to you. I just want to say that because I'm not trying to promote people to do it. I just don't want to get in a bloody fight about how important gold is, okay? But I don't want it in your IRA. I want IRAs compounding over time, meaning I want dividends. I want repurchases of dividends. I want dips in the market where I'm buying with those dividends. That's how you compound wealth, not with non-dividend earning gold. And you have to pay money for them to store the gold. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was a little disturbed about that part. It's like, okay.
Yeah. So don't do that. I know that's where your money is, but you know, like I said, you got a little business going, and you got a little money on the side. You've been doing well. Then if you feel like you got to buy a couple ounces of gold, go ahead. But please don't get carried away and stay off the dark web. I call it the dark web because it is. It's all negative all the time. It's all doom and gloom all the time. We hear that.
We do live in a negative society, don't we?
We do. We do. We do. And we got to rise above it. I'm going to tell you something. Here's the real, you heard me talk today. That's the real story with Robinhood. These are, you know, it's gambling. It's not a good idea for investing. I want people to have freedom, and that means freedom to drink too much. It's freedom as long as that doesn't impact me. It's freedom to throw your money away at a casino. That doesn't impact me. It's fine. I think people should have freedom to do stupid things too, as long as they don't impact other people. But what I am bothered by is that this is some kind of an education for people about markets, and it's not. It's gambling. It's no different than making a sports bet. Well, I think GME is going to go up. Oh, I think the Knicks are going to cover the spread. It's stupid. It's not investing, okay? And so that's the negative, okay? And then on the positive side, Robinhood has every right to shut it down and follow regulations and make sure the capital markets are efficient. But what is Fox News, the far right, saying about this? The Robinhood investors are getting robbed of their right to trade stocks. That's the news. That's not the news. That's the fake news. That's the hype headlines, not the understanding. And that's what everything is. So when you're out there on the dark web, it's negative, negative, negative all the time. Buy gold. It's the only thing safe. It's not.
Yeah, I about stopped reading my regular newspaper because it feels like fake news.
It is fake news. Even the Wall Street Journal can't help talking about, you know, how overpriced the market is with different articles. Of course, they're going to cover different. They should do that. It needs to be balanced, right? But the reality
is, we need information. If it's solid, good information.
Yes, it is. But it's not. It's usually capped with some kind of a headline, screaming and yelling for attention.
Well,
Mark, I got to go. I'm sorry. We're out of time.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you again
for
your show.
Thank you, sir.
Very informative, and thank you for the information.
You're very welcome. Have a great weekend. Thanks.
You too. Thank you.
Bye. And again, we are obviously wrapping this up. If you have any comments or questions during the week, that's petzofinancial.com. Once again, thank you for the opportunity to be here. Have a great weekend.